this episode of Report This Post.
Hello to all of our beautiful and handsome patrons. Welcome to the latest bonus episode of Report This Post. My name's Geiger, and that is Christian.
They're turning the freaking frogs gay.
And we are your hosts with the post. Happy New Year, folks. We are here in 2023. Michael Jordan year. The number 23, remember that movie?
Was that Jim Carrey?
That was old Jimmy Carrey, yeah. Real stupid movie that one was.
Real stinker, you're saying. I never saw it.
One of those where it was he was in the middle of a serious turn. And the point of the movie, if I recall correctly, was I'm pretty sure I think I saw it on a date. I remember. Yeah, 2007. Oh yeah, that was prime dating years for me.
Prime pussy getting years for.
Oh boy, not that.
Gee, man.
I believe the gal left early. Left me there. Left me in the theater, if I recall correctly. Which of course I do not.
That's tough.
That's not drama. That's not dramatic in any way whatsoever. Anyway, the movie was dog shit, but it was Jim Carrey was going crazy because he kept seeing the number 23 everywhere. Kept finding patterns. Everything was adding up to 23. And the only image from the movie I can remember is him playing sax. For some reason, I don't even remember why. It's a very, if you Google picture of Jim Carrey's saxophone, he's got these hilariously fake tattoos on his arm. He looks so tough. It looks so stupid. That was the only image from that movie that I recall.
So it's stuck with you for a while, huh?
Yeah, very, very dumb thing. Don't know. I don't remember the ending. I don't know if he was just going crazy or if it was real. I don't even know. Don't remember anything, but that's my 23 story. What do you got?
What if the movie was 21 and it was about a guy? It turns out at the end he has Down syndrome. It doesn't know it.
It turns out at the end, and the audience
he
doesn't
finds
know
out. Either. Yeah, what if it's like a sixth sense thing, and they're like at the end of it's like, oh my god.
Oh, I guess we could have known
if the we were whole
looking
time
at his face the whole time.
Well, you know, you play it off.
The camera was obscuring him a little bit, like over the shoulder most of the time. That would have been puzzling enough as it is. Why are they shooting it like this?
What a strange decision to make. And it was directed by Jim Carrey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, what if it was that? You're right. That's a great question.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Yeah, no 23 for me. I don't think I believe that came out in the time of where movies were bad a lot of the time. Yeah. And then they just continued to do that for forever.
Well, yes and no, because 2007 was also had the best movies ever in or at least two of the ones in the discussion with There'll Be Blood and No Country for Old Men. But then it also had dog shit like that. And I think it was at 300.
Well, we know how you feel about 300. So.
Uh-huh. Saw that on several dates back in 2007. Oof. Boy, what else was out that year? Oh, it looks like Big Stan.
I'm sorry?
Big Stan, no. That was Rob Schneider's, he was in prison, I believe.
No, what
Balls of Fury.
Oh, boy. That
was a rough one, Balls of Fury. Don't really remember how that one was made. You had some guy, it was some goofy sports comedy like Dodgeball, but it was with ping pong.
Correct, yeah.
And it starred a guy I've never seen before or since. I'm not sure how he was the star of that movie.
Doug, he was a writer. God, what the hell is his name? But
Fogler.
Yeah, he's like a comedy writer, and I think that was maybe one of the things where they're like, we're gonna get this guy big. He's gonna go from behind the camera.
Mm-hmm. That's like Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
According to Dan Fogler's biography, his trademark is his thick curly hair.
Now Fogler. Is that a
Go on. What are you trying to say? Anyway, I have in my notes here something I wanted to talk about. The holiday season has passed us by. Officially, I think we are out of the holiday season now. New Year's Day is the last day, I would assume. But have you been to a store called Hot Bins?
No, but is this down by Arby's? This is good.
Well, which Arby's?
The one across from Steak and Shake.
If you, no, or maybe maybe there is one over there. What I'm thinking of is almost directly across from Busch Gardens.
Okay. Hot Bins. No. Okay.
So what Hot Bins is? It's a very interesting concept. I'm sure there are variations of this around the country. What they do is it's clearly an old CVS, and they just have old returned items from Amazon, Target, Walmart, stuff that was just bought, no one wanted, stuffed it back in a shitty box without any packaging, and just sent it back to the store. And those stores are like, we can't do anything with this fucking shit. So they then sell it off super low deal to stores like Hot Bins. And what Hot Bins has a very interesting business model where the store is closed on Thursdays. On Fridays, it's open with all new stuff. And there's literally just bins in, it's nothing but bins in the middle of the store with just piles and piles of shit in it. On Fridays, everything is $12. Saturday, everything's $10. Sunday, everything's $8. And so on till Wednesday when everything's $2. Anything that's left is $2. And it is, my wife and I went there on a Wednesday. So the $2 day, we drove past it randomly. What the hell is this place? So we looked it up. I was like, oh, we got to check this shit out. And woof, just completely filled to the brim with people just rooting in essentially just garbage cans. Just shit. And I bought a refrigerator water filter for $2.
This is the kind of stuff that,
yeah, okay. No packaging, and I found out when I got home doesn't fit my fridge, so just threw $2 away. But then also found a remote control Kindle page turner that my wife uses when she's reading a Kindle. She doesn't have to use her hands. For an ebook. If you ever wanted to read a book without using your hands, I got one of those for $2.
Oh my God.
I was stunned that it actually worked. But yeah, but there's just like, think of any random miscellaneous thing you could just buy on Amazon. Just cheap thing that has no use or has one very, very specific use that is very unlikely you're going to find out. You can't go in there expecting to find anything.
You're like, yeah, I got my list here. I can't wait to Hot Bins. The name is good because it really tells you what it is, you know?
These are some Hot Bins, baby. Yeah. Yeah, just if you guys go to Instagram, Hot Bins FL, they have a video of the store. The people just rooting through the bins, and they apparently have some people. Oh, look, someone got a Nespresso. Someone else got a, I guess, an Xbox or something like that. That's Nintendo Switch. I'm guessing for those people, I'm not sure how it works, but I'm guessing on like Fridays when the hot new stuff is in, it's probably like crazy line around the block or something like that. Because if you can get a Nintendo Switch for $12, it's pretty cool.
I'm
also going to guess that's very unlikely.
Results not difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, if you're like an employee there, why wouldn't you just be like, yeah, I'm just going to buy this before it opens? In fact, that's probably exactly what happens every single week. All the good stuff is just picked through immediately. And then if whatever dog shit's left over, here you can buy a Nintendo Switch that doesn't work for $12.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is that, I mean, because like you go to like, you know, Goodwill or something, it says tested, you know, so you, or they have the little power strip there where you can plug in the this 70-year-old hair dryer that you're gonna, that you want to buy for some reason. I would assume there'd be something like that similar here, but maybe not. Maybe there
No. It's literally just they get this stuff sent in and then they just plop them in the bins.
You know, that's kind of interesting because thinking back to it, there's been a couple times I return stuff to Amazon and they say, oh, just go ahead and take it to UPS or FedEx or whoever. Just take it in the store and they'll go ahead and take care of it. And it's like, well, how do they know, like, no, just, and you could just tell us that you sent it back. Like, we don't need any record and we'll just give you money back.
Yeah.
Like, don't even water, don't bother packing it up. And it's like,
right.
And my thought is like, why are they just going to like, I'm going to leave and they're just going to throw it away. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Nope. So they're making some money off it somehow, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. You can just go to Whole Foods and then just give it to them and then they'll.
And they're like, yeah, I know.
Take it.
Do you need anything else? They're like, nope.
It's the quick, like, just hold your phone to scan it. And they're like, all right, see ya. You're like, all right, cool. My 18 inch dragon dildo is off back to the factory, gently used and barely cleaned.
Good for another 1,000 miles and 1,000 smiles.
Hey, well, speaking of smiling, I'm sure folks here are ready to smile as we read bad posts from the internet.
Wonderful. Yeah. Hey.
New year, same old tricks.
Same
huh?
Shit. Yeah, probably. And hey, probably some of the same posts we read last year. Get used to it.
Or the year before that, or maybe both. That's very possible. We don't keep track of anything, and we're certainly not going to go back and listen to the episodes to find out.
Start having a separate account or a separate file for every single bonus episode.
We'll, I mean, we already do for every regular one.
Let's continue for some reason. Yeah, 3 years of bonus episodes, one Google Doc.
If we don't remember it, that means it didn't happen.
And you know what? It must have been a good post to be so unmemorable. Hey, this is from the subreddit r relationship advice. Hey guys, I was using my boyfriend's YouTube, and I know I'm wrong for doing this, but I was looking at his search history on YouTube and noticed some questionable searches he typed in. He searched Mean Girls Hot Guy, Mean Girls Aaron Samuels, Cameron Diaz Sweetest Thing Hot Guy, House Bunny Hot Guy, Matthew McConaughey Shirtless, Ryan Gosling Shirtless, Magic Mike Channing Tatum Dancing to Pony, Magic Mike Dancing to Raining Men, Romantic Comedies Cute Guys, Daniel Craig James Bond Beach Scene, Magic Mike Woody Harrelson, and Magic Mike Matthew McConaughey Mirror Scene. I don't know if I'm being paranoid or what, but now I'm starting to wonder about his sexuality. And user LurkerB69 commented, could be anything.
Could be one of many, many thousands of things that include him being gay.
Now, I'm not saying he's gay, but he's just going on and typing in early 2000s comedy, a hot guy.
Romantic comedies, cute guys is gayer than any other thing you could search for. That is the gayest possible search term. That, even like a Felching 101 for Dummies or something is not nearly as gay as, what are the cute guys in romantic comedies? This also is alarming because I literally did search for Aaron Samuels just the other day. Because my wife and my oldest daughter watched Mean Girls, I think like 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay.
And I was like, who the hell is this guy? I didn't search a cute guy or shirtless. I was just like, who the fuck is this? He's the only person in the movie I don't recognize.
And is he no longer an actor? Is he one of those weird ones?
I literally don't know him from anything else. His name is Jonathan Bennett. He was also in Van Wilder the freshman year, which is a direct-to-DVD sequel to Van Wilder
without Ryan Reynolds in it, correct?
Yes. Oh, and he was the host of the Food Network series Halloween Wars. And he previously hosted Cake Wars. Hmm. All right.
So the guy, you know, after Mean Girls, his career really took off and he wasn't able to be in movies anymore, obviously. So,
yep.
Oh, boy. That's a, that seems like a bad, like if you're hosting a Food Network television show, I feel like that's kind of like you're going home and putting the gun in your mouth every night, right? Contemplating pulling the trigger. Like you're just like, man.
It does not sound very fulfilling. And those hosts never seem very interested in what's going on.
Interested, happy to be there.
Bakers, it's time to get started. And then there's no like banter. There's no witticisms. But the show is presented as if that's what's happening, you know? It's not like Jeopardy when it's like, all right, Alex Trebek, he's kind of dry and he's a little stiff, but that's the format of the show. It's like, no, these are like, there's bright lights, everyone's excited, people have huge plastered on smiles, and then the host is just clearly he's picturing his head in the oven. He's like, oh, Bakers, open that bad boy up, stuff me in there.
Yeah, there's a sketch comedy thing in there of a guy, a host attempting to kill himself during the competition. That would be
all right. I guess we'll do that this year.
We'll do it for our packet to send over to Lorne.
Mm-hmm. He'll probably die this year, right?
Lorne might? No. What is he, like 65? He's not that old.
Are you kidding me?
No. What?
He is literally 78 years old.
No. I mean, that's still not that old. Okay.
Old enough.
5'7". Yeah. No wonder. Okay.
When you get that tall, I mean, all bets are off. I mean, he started at Saturday Night Live 50 years ago. You know, I don't know why. If he was 65, that would be very funny. He was just a teenager when he started that show.
Instead, he was 28 years old. He was a failed. What? I don't know. What the hell? What is he? Just a producer? What the hell does he do? What was he?
I really don't care. Okay. This is from one of those mom groups on Facebook. I think my junior intends to not contact me after she graduates and goes to college. We went out for dinner. She ate most of the appetizers, her main course, and something from my plate, and was taking her brother's fried rice. I said she is overeating and to cut it off and asked her to stop a couple of times. She didn't. I took the rice bowl away from her. My husband said to me, she's going to college in a year, won't be able to do anything then. And the daughter looked at me and said, yeah, I am never going to contact you ever. She has gained 2 sizes up and has borderline cholesterol, so I am just worried about her weight gain. Same size as me. I'm also the one pretty strict about her grades or scores, extras, and constantly on her about them. This morning, 8 a.m., she's supposed to take a practice ACT. She came down 7:55 a.m. and was standing waiting for the croissants to bake. I told her she should have been more committed to start at 8 a.m. and come earlier since she won't be getting any croissants and to just eat the fruits and eggs and go up. Back and forth on that ensured wasting more time. We have no time for therapy, so any other suggestions on how do I fix this, because all I'm feeling is not providing any service to her anymore or helping with all the things, college counseling or completing the parent portion of driving lessons or anything. Why should I spend my energy on her? I'd rather spend it on my son and puppies.
Phew.
Hmm.
Oh, boy.
Hmm. Now, why would this daughter want to cut off contact from her? It's hard to tell.
I wonder why this daughter has food issues that she's exhibiting. Jeez. That's tough, man.
7:55 a.m. Nope. The croissants are still baking. Why does this lady say this? Like, obviously, it's everyone has 8 a.m. croissants. So the daughter should know that, as anyone else would know.
My daughter, who's a big, huge porker, much like myself.
She's as fat as my fat ass. Good Lord.
You know, you ever stop and think about, like, like you say something to your kids and then, like, in the back of your head, you're just like, I really hope this doesn't fuck. Like, I hope this doesn't become something that's, like, brought up later on.
Yeah, I had one of those recently. It was brutal.
You're just like, boy, I really wish I wouldn't have said that, because I know for a fact this is going to get thrown back in my face in 20 years. This lady does not have that sort of high functioning thought process going on. She just She just wants to spend time with her presumably fat little son, and I'm going to assume fat little dogs.
Yeah.
And her husband, whose neck is just so big. His neck is in. This guy's only wearing polo shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot button the three buttons on him because of that fucking honker of a neck he's got. But
yeah. But a real sharp chin strap to help hide it. You'd never guess.
Jet black. Mm-hmm. Just died to high heaven. Yeah, he's.
And this guy, boy, does he have a chair. And he sits in that chair. He holds the iPad up. He's watching a show on there while the TV is also blasting a show at 70 volume.
He's got College Game Day on. He's also watching NASCAR.
Yep.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah. This daughter is going to be.
You know what? From a lot of people I know growing up who's kind of like freed themselves from parents that were bad. She's probably going to be a lot better off if she just does not.
If she recognizes it now, like, good God, this whole situation's dog shit.
Oh yeah. I mean, I had a friend who emancipated herself when she was 18 from her parents and just went about her life. And you got to think, like, if your kid at the moment they become a legal adult is like, yeah, I'm going to cut you out of my life forever. Probably want to take a step back and be like, I wonder if we could have done something differently about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one is actually kind of where it's like, yeah, I guess she probably should cut me off since I'm on her all the time about stuff. Plus, I don't want to give her therapy. And don't want to spend any more energy on her because I care more about my puppies.
Yeah. We're too busy for therapy. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go on the internet and post about this.
Yeah. Thanks, maybe cut mommies. Some of the croissant time down, lady.
You know, if you don't let them proof, they don't get flaky. You got to layer them and then you got to let them sit. So croissants every morning. You know what? That actually sounds pretty good. Honestly, I decided.
Yeah. Croissants every morning is good. I'm going to guess these are pulled straight out of a can, but
these are Kirkland brand. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. The second fridge these fucking fatsos have is loaded with Kirkland. The garage fridge. The garage, by the way, is a nightmare. Oof. God
damn.
Oh. Car's been able to fit in that garage in 9 years.
That just has all the stuff the mom's picked up at garage sales that she's going to find a use for. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about, bro.
She's got all sorts of second business ideas that she's working on. Oh, man. This is getting a little too close to home.
Hey, speaking of kids and families, this is from Reddit.
All right.
Am I the asshole for getting 6 girls overseas pregnant? I'm 26 years old. I went traveling in the world for 6 months, Germany, France, the Philippines, Thailand, Brazil, etc. I know 3 of the kids are in the Philippines. I think 2 are from Brazil and 1 in France. I don't really want to be a father in terms of helping out. I'll send some money overseas when I can, but that's about it. I think the kids will be fine. It was about a less than 6 month trip. I had a lot of fun, but now I've got a few kids. If I'm being honest with myself, I wanted to have a lot of kids and not a lot of responsibility. I think I might be the asshole because I suppose children should have an involved dad. But at the same time, they chose to have those kids. They could have gotten an abortion or not had the children if they wanted to.
Touche.
If you can believe it, this guy was voted as the asshole almost unanimously. Yeah. So,
kind of like the previous poster, they're posting, they're like, I guess I probably am bad. For
you know what?
Now that I'm typing this all out.
It does. You know what? This doesn't make me sound great. But I'm also not going to do anything about it.
If I'm being honest, I wanted to have a lot of kids.
Okay. But I didn't want to have this.
Didn't want any responsibility. Well, that's a tough thing to square there, buddy. Hard to have your cake and not give a shit about it.
Yeah, that's something. That is really something. Just being like, yeah, so I just went overseas and just did a complete fuck fest on a bunch of women that English 100% second language. They didn't know what that was.
Just blasted some absolute holes in the Philippines.
There's something to be said about guys that just vacation the Philippines. Never a good look for a guy just to be like, yeah, I love vacationing in the Philippines.
Well, usually their partners are not of age to become pregnant, so at least this guy's got that going on. Usually it's just finding young, moist little boys that they can take advantage of. And so I guess kudos to this guy for that.
Yeah, kudos to him. That's right.
Hey, sir.
You know what? This guy's doing it right. You know what? He probably saved a bunch of kids from getting sex trafficked.
That's a great point. I'm sure nothing bad will happen to them now. They're living a single mother in the Philippines with seven other half siblings. Hey, this is from the subreddit r, relationship advice. My girlfriend and I have been dating for over a year now. We were at my house watching the movie Gone Girl. At the end of the movie, the actress stares at the camera with an evil look. My girlfriend said that this person had evil eyes, and I jokingly said, "They remind me of your evil eyes when you were mad at me." She looked at me and said, "That is something you should never say to a girl you are dating," and she was going to let herself out of my house. I profusely apologized for my bad humor and said it was a bad joke on my part. I walked her to her car and tried to give her a goodnight kiss. She pushed me away and just waved her hand and said bye. I said, "You mean forever?" She said, "Probably." She drove off, and I have not heard from her since. It has been a week or so. We've never had fights nor arguments. Did I really cross the line with my comment?
Yeah, you remind me a lot of the psychotic woman from this movie who just gaslights everybody and just looks like a complete evil witch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, honey, that's you right there, mm-hmm. just pointing to the screen.
Yeah, well, if she can't take a joke, probably best she fucks off.
Is that what that is? Is that what that is?
Okay. Yeah. Can't stand the heat, lady. Don't want you in my kitchen.
I guess that's true. You know what?
Boy, the things that I've said. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Don't be shy. What's
that? Well, I think we got more posts to read first. I'll probably add them in post when I do all my editing of the episodes that I do.
Oh, I'm just thinking about watching the movie Gone Girl with like, have you seen, do you know of what it's about, the film?
Yeah, it's been a while, but I have seen it with my wife.
Yeah, I just think watching that with like your spouse, like there's either going to be like, I don't know, it's just like one of those things where it's like, I feel like you could get yourself stuck in some situations. like, boy, I'm glad glad you're not crazy like that woman. It's like, well, you think she's crazy? It's like, oh, brother, uh-oh, here we go. Yeah, I just feel like that's something that you could really get in trouble in a number of ways, trying to talk around.
Yeah. Yep. Not a... Movie wasn't bad, right?
No, it's not bad. It's not a feel-good film, that's for damn sure. But
yeah, it was a big twist kind of movie, right?
Oh yeah, there's always some twists. There's twists and turns at what's her name, Jillian, whatever. Damn women writers with their twists and turns.
Yeah. That kind of book sort of dominated the woman book market for the next 20 years or so.
Yeah, because you got Girl on the Train, which is about an alcoholic woman that witnessed a murder. And then every white woman was like, oh, my God, me. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Why women just want to get murdered? I think that's all it is. They're asking for it.
Let me tell you.
Takes two to ten.
There's a couple. I tell you what, brother. I better not, though.
Good nerd.
This was sent into the advice column, Dear Prudence.
One of those Dear Abby kind of things or whatever.
Yep. It was my daughter's second birthday, and we had both of my husband's sisters at our house with their husbands. One of my sister has three kids, ages 4, 3, and 9 months, who were also there. My 6-year-old daughter was also present. Shortly after the birthday cake, I found a small bag of cocaine on top of my trash can. I questioned everyone where it had come from. My brother-in-law, the one without kids, confessed that he had dropped it and that he had bought it for later in the week. He was very drunk, as he usually is. Mm-hmm. We believe he is an alcoholic, but he apologized profusely and took the drugs out of the house. My brother-in-law stayed at our house that night, and the next morning he basically hid in bed, ashamed, until he and his wife left. He didn't mention what had happened. As the next day wore on, my husband and I became more and more angry and disturbed by what had happened. My husband and I are both incredibly angry at my brother-in-law for bringing drugs into our house, where both of our kids could have easily eaten them, thinking it was sugar. The whole family seems to think my husband and I are making a big deal out of nothing, but I really don't think we are. The sister with the kids isn't that upset, even though two of her kids could have easily had access to it. The sister who is married to him thinks that his drug use is between the two of them, but I said that's not true anymore, now after he put our kids in danger. Everyone seems to think we should forgive and forget. I do consider drug addiction a health problem, and I believe he needs help, but the man brought narcotics to a 2-year-old's birthday party, and a kid could have died because of his drunken negligence. Are we crazy for being absolutely outraged at this, still 2 weeks later? And Prudence responded, yes, it's perfectly reasonable to be angry with your brother-in-law for leaving coke on your trash can during a toddler's birthday party. I don't mean to sound glib, but it's a little remarkable he'd forget where he put his cocaine. Usually anyone who brings secret cocaine to a cocaine-free type of party is hyper aware of exactly where their cocaine is.
Yeah. Yes, this is a guy who's forgotten a lot of bad things that he's done. And
here's the thing that I feel like the lead's getting a little buried here, mm-hmm. is the fact that he's three sheets to the wind drunk at a 2-year-old's birthday party. And
I think that's not that abnormal.
Okay. All right.
Or a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old.
6-year-old, yeah.
These are all typical ages to do that sort of.
Perfectly reasonable age to just tie one off with the rest of the PTA members that have joined you for the party.
I saw a couple of them sneaking some brews the other day. That was some of those moms. They thought they were being a little sneaky, sneaky.
Oh, there was one mom who was cracking them and pouring them into like a Yeti. And I'm like, okay, lady, that's like the sixth time I've seen you gone back.
Yeah.
Who's driving you and your kid home? You are? Okay, great.
I'm sure they've perished by now. Yeah. That's, I think once you're at the point where you're just doing these sort of things. You're leaving things around that you shouldn't. Stuff that this guy's probably like spent a lot of time thinking about, like how to hide these sort of things, and then he just straight up forgets about it. That means he's even deeper in than he normally is.
Oh, geez, where did I put my cocaine? My birthday party cocaine.
Yeah. Never done this stuff myself.
You know what? Doesn't, never have either.
Doesn't really interest me. The whole nose part freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, I just know the way I behave with other things.
Yeah.
If I got one taste, see ya. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be freaking Scarface. I'd just be like, yep, I'm going to do cocaine every day because that's just who I am now. So.
Yeah, people say it's really good, but. Doesn't mean I need it, you know. Like, I got enough good stuff going on. I also got a lot of bad stuff going on. So I got to sort of figure out a balance.
Getting into cocaine when you're like in your mid 30s seems really. That's just you don't want to be. That's
you're kind to say mid 30s. We're both knocking on late 30s at this point. A couple weeks away. Pumped for that. One more post, folks. Listener of the show at On Morgan on Twitter sent this one to us. It's a post made by an Instagram user named Tara Nay Nicole.
Okay.
A woman's wisdom lives in her womb, not her mind. Your womb space harnesses your essence, and expressing from that place will always amplify the attraction you invoke with your voice. Speaking from your womb is the most genuine way to express your feelings and thoughts and emotions with clarity and confidence. And if you're afraid of using your voice or expressing your truth, there's a chance you're cut off from your womb space and all the juicy wisdom she holds for you. The mind is a profound tool for women who it is influenced by the womb. And if you're stuck in your head, then it's time to drop down into her and resource the gift she holds for your presence. If you're ready to learn how, join me for Fully Expressed, a free ritual training in womb embodiment. We're diving deep for 2.5 hours to activate the womb space, purify her, and channel her voice up to your goddess-given mouth. The gal describes her account as a medicine woman for women, and you can email her for womb work at priestess@taranaynicole.com.
Yeah. What the fuck is going on? You
got to have a lot of confidence to pull off this sort of grift. That's what I would say about these women. Like, there's something to fall for it. You got to be dumb, but to actually like commit to doing it and like charging people money for this shit, you got to be really, really confident in what you're doing. It's sort of appreciated.
I guess. Yeah, I guess a womb workshop, huh? That's.
Yep. Oh.
Go on.
Yeah, she has her master classes where she offers a soul ceremony, a rebirth ceremony, pleasure of the rose.
Oh boy.
Which is where you learn to anchor the power of pleasure into the core of your life. You have infinite wealth, which are embodied wealth codes for women who want to expand into true wealth that lasts. Priestess power, which is initiation. And then architecture of her soul. Let's say, I have crafted this course to support you in coming to know yourself deeply. To read all this and to not think, wow, this is all just horse shit. Like, she's not saying anything. You got to be a real big dum-dum.
That's like 90% of the like new age stuff. Though. Oh, yeah. There's a guy to the opposite spectrum of this. There's a guy who teaches workshops about like male, like harness your masculinity.
Sure.
And it's all about like doing anal work, he calls it, with like with butt plugs, and then like sitting around naked and like jacking off in front of guys. And he's like, this is how you get in touch with your masculinity. It's like, no, my brother, that's like how you like jack off. That's how you do gay stuff. That's like,
yeah,
it's, I mean, I guess, hey, you know what, I guess there's nothing more masculine than just like jerking off in front of a bunch of naked guys. So Hey, maybe he's onto something.
If that makes you masculine, then I'm freaking Hulk Hogan over here. Good night, everybody.